From the heart of rural France, this is the Keto Woman podcast, brought to you by me. Hello, keto lovelies. I'm Daisy Brackenhall, and I've spent most of my life struggling with my weight and confidence, and have always had a difficult relationship with food. Even when I finally got to my target weight after weight loss surgery and eating low carb, I couldn't maintain it and I was miserable. I've been keto now for over 2 years and it has given me the freedom to fall in love with food again without the constant gain, loss, guilt, virtue cycle of before. Health and happiness is where it's at now, running on fat. Welcome to the Keto Woman podcast. Each week I'll be chatting to inspirational women, maybe even the odd man, to discover the secrets to their success so that I can share them with you. So what is keto? Keto is a way of eating that enables you to switch your body's main fuel source from sugar to fat. Who doesn't want to be a fat burner, right? But how do we achieve this? A great place to start is by keeping carbs under 20 grams a day. So things like leafy greens and above ground vegetables, plus some nuts and seeds and the incidental carbs you find in things like full fat dairy. Choose delicious fatty proteins and be free and easy with oily dressings on salad and butter on your veggies. Once you're in the swing of things, you can tweak it to suit you. Make your own personalized keto. You'll hear all sorts of ways to keto from my guests. There is no one way to do keto, no one size fits all. I hope to show you just how flexible and fabulous this way of eating can be. I'm not a doctor, and most of my guests won't be either, so we really can't give you medical advice. It's always best to consult your own doctor when making big changes to your diet and lifestyle, because they know you and your medical history, and so have access to the bigger picture. Wouldn't it be helpful to have one place where you could find all the links? Want to sign up to my new Patreon-exclusive Facebook group, Daisy's Lovelies? No problem. How about subscribing to my YouTube channel? Please help me notch up my first 1,000 subscribers by going to links.ketowomanpodcast.com and following the YouTube link. Not following me on Instagram yet? Hit the Instagram button. You get the idea. All the buttons, all the links you need are at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Welcome to episode 108, where we get back to my conversation with extraordinary woman Siobhan Huggins. Siobhan is an independent researcher focused on lipidology, the immune system, and metabolic diseases. She spends most of her time at cholesterolcode.com, where she works alongside Dave Feldman. She has been keto since August of 2016, and on a predominantly carnivorous diet as of October 2017. She has lost 80 pounds, reversed hypertension, and found a passion for research along the way. Listen out at the end of the episode for a couple of little bonus recordings that I made with Siobhan and Amber O'Hearn months ago. I did them for a Patreon reward that didn't really work out. It seemed like a good time to use them up, as this episode is a little short. Just a couple of extra snippets about how to deal with questions about your way of eating.
So the high carb experiment, we should probably talk about.
Yeah, that's the opposite end of the extremes.
The opposite end. So with my health history of obesity and hypertension and depression, you may be wondering, why in the world?
Yeah, why would you do that?
Why would you do this to yourself? In my head,
I can predict this is not going to go well.
In my head, I was actually like, this is not going to be that bad because I'm eating whole food carbs. Like, I think last time I was on the podcast, I had mentioned I was planning on doing sweet potatoes, but then I realized in order to get up to, like, baseline calories with, like, low fat, it would have to be, like, a pound or two of sweet potatoes, and I was like, I don't want to do that. And so I went for black beans and lean chicken and spices.
You must have had to eat a lot of food, because that's the thing that we've just been saying with keto AF. You found that the amount of food diminishes to make you feel full. What was the conditions of the experiment? Was satiety, did that play any part in it? Was it down to you set a certain number of calories to eat? What was the setup?
It was a certain number of calories that I was needing to eat. So I needed to be weight stable for the experiment because weight has been shown to influence LDL-C, which is what I was looking at. So in between the end of the keto AF experiment and the beginning of the carb experiment, I had like a week or two where I was back to higher protein eating because I needed to regain all the weight that I had lost, which sucked.
Yeah, big time.
So I didn't even like overeat. I was just back to higher protein eating and I did actually regain everything.
Wow.
Which wasn't too thrilled about, but it's like, eh, it's for the setup of the experiment. It's fine. It's whatever. It's not like a personal failing on my part. So I did that, and then I had a baseline where I was just eating the normal high-protein stuff again, because that's my usual baseline, so I just returned to that. And then for the first 3 days of the high-carb experiment, I did a calorie-matched high-carb, low-fat. So it was lean chicken breast, black beans, spices, which is just garlic and cumin for my own sanity, although I ended up hating it very rapidly. And then for the 5 days after that, I added honey and bananas and additional honey in coffee because it wasn't high carb enough. This is something that Dave had commented on as well, that in order to really, really drive LDL down, he needed to crank up the carbs really high. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do the same thing. This is whole food carbs for the most part, except for honey. So it's not going to cause problems. I thought I would be fine. I thought it wouldn't even do anything. Like, I'd be a little cranky in the first 3 days as I'm kind of adapting over to glucose burning again. No. No. The entire experiment was a horror show. What happened is, like I said, I thought it'd be the first 3 days and be fine, but what actually happened is I was getting worse over time. So over the entire 8 days, I was getting progressively more tired. I would have to start taking naps in the day, and my mood was getting worse. Yeah, it declined fairly rapidly. Yeah, it just wasn't good. I did get the data back, though. One thing I was trying to do is avoid inducing inflammation, which is why I chose the whole food carb sources. So I didn't want to eat bread because I was like, that's going to probably increase inflammation given my history.
Right.
So I didn't do that. I did successfully avoid that as far as what showed up in the blood work. Inflammation markers were low. Insulin wasn't low. Yeah, so that went fine. It wasn't as large of a drop because I was being a little bit hesitant because of the inflammation aspect. But what I was looking at in that experiment was whether lipoprotein little a would drop, because from my own data, it's been following LDL. And it did. So if you put them on a graph, they're almost overlapping in what they're actually doing. So the level of change in the both of them, even though they're measured differently, essentially, the amount of change is about the same for them both. So they're both following the same pattern. So that's great. Yay. Successful experiment. But then there's aftermath. A lot of aftermath. So that was, I think that experiment ended like 3 days before KetoFest started, where I was also giving a presentation. Funnily enough, I was talking about insulin resistance and how it relates to the immune system and repair. And how if you're coming back from this metabolically unhealthy state, it may take a while to lose the weight, but you'll probably see other improvements beforehand. And you need kind of this set of circumstances to come back from that. Like, if it's true that insulin is remaining high because you're in this kind of maintenance mode of trying to come back from the poor state that you were in, then you would likely need substrate. So you need materials for repair. You need a healthy immune system, which should come from a good environment for the most part. You need a low irritant kind of lifestyle, so not smoking, not eating foods that you're sensitive to, and you need time. And I got to experience that after that high carb experiment. That was speculation on my part, but people did come up after the presentation and say, hey, I really relate to this. This kind of reflects what I've been going through. And then over the next 3 months after that experiment, I ended up having to repeat parts of that presentation back to myself. Like, you are coming back from this high carb experiment. It clearly impacted things in what way, to what level, I don't know, but it definitely did something. My mood was all over the place. I would have random instances of just being really, really negative with myself, which doesn't happen as often anymore. And like randomly crying for no reason. That was great. And low energy again, like I said, withdrawing from people. It's such a bizarre experience because I can spot it now. I can see it happening. I'll start arguing with myself in my head, where after giving that KetoFest presentation, this was only a couple days after the experiment, so I was really in the midst of it. And I gave that presentation, and I was just thinking to myself immediately after, man, you messed that one up. That was really bad. Nobody knew what you were talking about. Even as people were coming up to me, being like, I totally got it. Mm. I'll have to listen to it again, but the general, you know, idea of what you were talking about really resonates. But at the same time, in my head, I'm just like, they're just being polite. They had no idea what you were talking about. But then on the other side of my head, I was also able to be like, you're not making sense. This is not rational. You are not reacting to things in your environment in a logical way. Something is wrong. And that would just start like this two-sided argument in my head of this negative voice versus the part of me that's self-aware and is like, no, I don't think so. I think this is a voice that's not actually connected with reality. And of course, you can like argue with yourself in that way, but that doesn't make the voice go away.
No, but it's nice to have that other voice of experience, because this is worlds apart from what you were describing earlier, where you were in this place where you were enjoying food for the first time and it's making you so happy. You yeah. feel like, you know, running around skipping. Once you've got that experience, you've then got the confidence of this voice of experience to actually argue with this other one. You've got something there that you can really get stuck into.
Yeah, and I definitely didn't have that before keto. Like, I had other people telling me, you know, you're not really making sense.
Mm, like, but of course you don't believe them, do you?
Right, but because I did have that experience and then going back into that state of mind, I was self-aware in a way I hadn't been before. And I've now come to recognize, because it's happened like once or twice before where it'll pop up again, where I'm able to recognize once that fighting starts, like that internal conflict, something is wrong. Like, you are not upset because you're upset. Mm. You're upset because something is wrong. And I found, really weirdly, because this wasn't the case like directly into keto and carnivore, but I found that if I wasn't eating enough fat, my mood would decline immediately. At KetoFest, I was just eating like straight butter, like pudding butter and coffee. And even like after a meal that was too lean, I could tell my mood was declining. And so I was hanging out with Nick Mailer at RD86, and I was like, I think I'm not feeling good and I want to test something. So I'm going to eat some straight butter and check in on me again in 15, 20 minutes or whatever. And we'll see how I'm doing. He did. And I was like, I do feel much better. And it's like you can, or at least I can feel it like this black fog when you're kind of in that state and it had started to lift. It's like, okay. So I'm going to stick to keto AF for however long this takes, because if I don't, I feel worse, and that's not great. Mm. Around the same time, I was also having skin issues, and, you know, my energy wasn't great, my attention wasn't great, just like all this stuff. And of course, I had gained weight. I think I gained, I want to say like 7 or 8 pounds, probably more than that in the follow-up over the experiment as well. So I had gone from 143 pounds to 154 or something like that total. It's like, oh, cool. And then it wasn't coming off. Mm. In my head, I was like, okay, I'll gain some weight, but it'll be like water weight and then a couple pounds of fat and it's fine. And then it wasn't coming off. It's like, oh, cool. And then I had just like keep repeating parts of that presentation to myself. Like, you're coming back from this state. It's going to resolve. It's going to resolve. You just need time. The mood issues and the skin issues, like all that type of stuff, lasted for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it wasn't until really in the past week or two, so about 2 3/4 months past the experiment, where I was reflecting about how I felt and how my skin was doing and all that type of stuff. And I was actually able to feel like I was back to where I was before I had done the high carb experiment. It's like, okay, nearly 3 months. And I do believe I've started to lose weight, which is reassuring. I'm definitely not back to where I was after the Keto AF experiment, and not even back to where I was before the Keto AF experiment. But I do think it's starting to come off, but that's still 3 months. And the mood effects were concerning, because it's like, oh no, what if I've broken myself and I'm just back to this, like, permanently? And luckily that's not the case. I'm definitely back to normal.
It's hard sometimes to find a place to interrupt, but this is the best spot I could find. I need to take a moment to tell you about Wild Foods, because they are being good enough to support this podcast. And let me tell you, I wouldn't do this for just any company. I'm very picky when it comes to messing with my edit, as I think you probably know by now. Wild Foods is a company that focuses on real foods, real ingredients, and sustainability. They sell everything from coffee to mushrooms, and one of their top sellers is their wild fish oil. This means their fish oil is US processed and caught and certified sustainable, unlike the majority of fish oil on the market. They have that same high standard with everything that they sell, and you can check it out at wildfoods.co. Use the code KETOWOMAN for 12% off your order. And don't forget to enter the $100 giveaway by clicking the button in the show notes or on the links page at links.ketowomanpodcast.com. Thank you for taking the time out to listen. Now let's get back to Siobhan and find out what happened next.
I feel bad because I came to my boyfriend's place like after Keto Fest, and I was not easy to deal with for like the first month or so that I was here. When even he recognizes, like, are you feeling okay? Like, are you doing okay? Is something wrong? It's nice to have people who can kind of point out that something is off, because sometimes you'll get in the space of, like, trying to convince yourself it's all just, like, in your head, or you're overreacting or something like that, and then other people will comment and just be like, okay, cool, I'm still sane. Like, I'm not feeling well, but I'm still sane. But yeah, it took a while, and I didn't expect the effects to last that long. I was talking to Dave, and he had said that when he had done some similar experiments before, there was an after effect. And for the white bread and lean meat experiment, even in the midst of the experiment, he was not his normal Tigger-like, disgustingly chipper self. He was rather irritable.
Yeah, I can remember him saying in a presentation that he felt awful. I think that's the thing that's both very interesting, but also very scary for anyone who has issues with mood and depression, as we both do. To see something that has such a massive impact, and you know, you realize that the cumulative effect of that over years and years and years, but how quickly it can bring you back down like it did. But also, I do find it interesting that the level of fat as well can have an impact on your mood. I can remember Kim talking about when she was playing around with protein and fat levels, and she dropped her fat and went higher protein for a while. And she said the biggest thing she noticed during that period of time was that she just felt awful from an emotional point of view. And I find that fascinating, that the fat almost is like soothing your brain and your mood and making you feel better.
Yeah, and I don't know the mechanisms behind it at all, but I know I've definitely experienced it. And because I have had outside people like Dave, who is also keeping an eye on me and checking in on me and commenting, yeah, you are kind of off. You do seem a bit more irritable, morose, I think he used at one point. And just having someone who does kind of understand what I was experiencing and reassuring me that, yes, this is actually happening, like, you're not making this up. But at the same time, he was also helping me analyze what I was experiencing to make sure I wasn't like, well, we are going into this with preconceived notions about, like, your history and how you deal with things. And by kind of analyzing it, it helped distance myself from it somewhat.
Yeah.
Which helped me deal with it a little bit easier. It's like, okay, is this a rational reaction? How am I feeling right now? Is this just intrusive thoughts, or is this actually tied to an emotion that I'm experiencing? And is that emotion tied to something that is happening in the environment, or does it not make sense? That kind of like analyzing and being like, okay, so this isn't normal, but the good news is it's going to go away, probably. And here's something I know will make me feel better. And the high fat was also helping stop more weight gain from happening after the experiment. So the issue was, even after the experiment where I gained weight, I was continuing to gain weight. And it was like, oh, I don't like that. But after I introduced more fat explicitly, I at least went weight stable. After some time, there were the other improvements, and then now I've started dropping weight again. But it's like, after that, the fat was even more needed than it was before, and I don't know why.
Fascinating. So you're back to keto AF. You found overall that that's the best way of eating for you, where you feel better and the most likely to be able to get back to the weight you want to be.
Yeah, I mean, at least for the current time, it could change in the future. I don't know. I mean, over the past 3 years, my diet has kind of had evolution points where it's gone from omnivorous keto with protein restriction to non-protein restriction to carnivorous to all this other stuff. So it'll probably change a million more times over. But yeah, for right now, this is definitely the way I've been the most stable, and it's definitely been helping me come back from it. Another thing that I noticed is after the experiment, I was starting to react to things that I wasn't before. Like, I was having issues with dairy, where I'd eat dairy and then the very next day I would start breaking out in acne. Like, that's not funny. And then spices were also upsetting my stomach, so I had to cut those out for a while, and I've reintroduced dairy and there's not been a problem, luckily. And spices, I'm kind of more or less avoiding for right now because I don't trust them anymore. And I don't really like using them anyway, so it's not a big deal. But yeah, it's just weird how one experiment can change things so much. And the thing that I also remind myself is, for some people, it's not an experiment.
Yeah.
For some people, they ended up in that place because it was the holidays, or a pet died, or a family member died, or, you know, work is going really bad.
Yeah, so they don't have the advantage in the way of, you knew you were going to go into an experiment, you knew it was going to have an impact of some kind, quite possibly negative.
Yeah.
But it's like you say, someone who does something that's part of the norm, even if it's straying away from their way of eating, they wouldn't necessarily be going into it with the same sort of expectations.
Right. And the other thing that Dave has commented on is that if you are kind of falling off the wagon in that situation, you can think that you're not feeling good because of the stress, or because you feel guilty that you fell off the wagon, or whatever. I'm just stressed out because it's the holidays. I'm just breaking out because it's the holidays, blah, blah, blah. But for what I did, that was not the case. It was a total separation as much as I could of, okay, so we're going to do this. It's not stressful at all. This is not a personal failing if I gain weight during this experiment. It's part of what's going to happen, possibly, especially because I was eating a lot of calories for the last 5 days of it. It's fine. We'll just return to what we always do afterwards. It's not a personal failing. It's going to be fine. But then things still happen. It's like, okay, so this isn't because I fell off the wagon because I was stressed and I feel guilty about it, because I didn't fall off the wagon. I did it intentionally. And I don't feel guilty about it because I did it intentionally. And I'm still having these emotional after effects and these physical after effects. And it's not like, you could maybe argue it's stress from gaining weight, but I wasn't really that stressed about it at first until it didn't come off. So yeah, it's just a completely different context where you can really look at it and separate it out. And it really does speak to me, at least, that what I eat does have a huge impact. Just avoiding that total instability and negative feedback from myself is a large part of why I stay keto. Like, even beyond the weight loss and hypertension and history of heart disease in my family, whatever. Like, all that is a separate thing. But the reason I don't eat off plan is, if I do, I know what it's going to do. And I just can't, like, that thought is intolerable. I happen to like enjoying my life and enjoying things. It's quite fun. I want to be able to continue doing that. it's just a hard cut for me, and it makes it really easy to tell people who are pushing food on me, oh, you have to try a bite of this, a bite of that, whatever, I made it special just for you. No, I'm sorry, but if I do that, it's going to make me feel really, really bad, and I don't want you to feel bad that something I ate that you made me feel bad, so I'd rather just not.
Mm.
And if they push past that...
Yeah, exactly. And it's the lasting impact as well. So it's not just like where you said, so you did your experiment for 8 days, you go from feeling great to feeling rubbish doing the experiment. But then it's not like on day 9, you start feeling better again.
Yeah.
You start feeling a bit less worse. But as you've said, trying to claw back to getting back to that level of balance has taken a long time.
Yeah.
That's the problem, isn't it? It's that dealing with that aftermath.
Yeah.
Because that's the period where it's so difficult when you're still feeling bad to force yourself through that period that you know is going to make you feel better, but it's not going to do it straight away.
Yeah. And I mean, like, granted, this is my personal experience. And I do know people who are like, I can have a cheat day and I feel a little bit not good the next day, or I feel perfectly fine the next day, but then after that, it's smooth sailing. It's like, okay, cool. That's not me. I can't do that. Because of my history and my experience and all this stuff, I know that I have to abstain because otherwise I just don't feel good. But that's not going to be everyone. And I'm fine with that. And I totally understand that carnivore isn't for everyone. Keto isn't for everyone. Not everyone likes it. Not everyone enjoys it. Not everyone needs it. That's totally fine. But for me, this is what works best for me because I've gone through the effort of trying different things. I was vegetarian for a year when I was like 14 to 15. That didn't help. But this has helped. It's like, if this is the only thing that helps consistently and long term, I have good reason to stick with it. And no matter how many number of people is like, okay, you lost the weight, time to eat normal again. Like, no, I'm sorry. This is my maintenance for being happy.
Mm. Well, long may it last. And good luck with your presentation. I'm sure you will knock it out the park as always. There are various things we've mentioned in the podcast and we'll put them all in the show notes so people can find them and follow up and also find where to find you at cholesterolcode.com and all the other things you do. We'll put all the links in the show notes so people can find you and follow you and find out more.
Sure thing.
Perhaps you could leave us with a top tip.
I think what I've learned over the past experiments that I've done, especially the past 2, has just been give yourself permission to experiment with things and really, really go into the experiment. I mean, maybe not the high carb part. If you already know, you don't do well with it. The only reason I was able to do keto AF to where I was eating that much fat and not trying not to worry about overeating is because I did tell myself I was gonna do this the way that I kind of felt would be the only way to figure out if it worked. So the reason I was able to do it properly, you know, eat as much fat as you can until you're full, is because that was part of the experiment. And I think if I didn't set it up that way, I never would have been able to convince myself to just try it.
Mm.
And if you are wondering if something might fit, then maybe just try it and give it an honest try. And if it doesn't work, then okay, admit that wasn't for me. I'll go back to what I know does work. Or if you don't know what works yet, just keep trying. Because I think April has also shown that sometimes you just need to keep trying. So I guess my top tip, simplified, is give yourself permission to try and keep trying as many times as it takes until you find what you need to be happy and healthy.
Well, I'm glad you've found that magic balance, that magic formula that works for you. So long may it last.
Thank you.
Lovely to speak to you as always.
Yep.
And hopefully see you sometime soon.
Yes. See you soon.
Here are those bonus snippets I mentioned earlier. First up is Siobhan, and then a real quickie from Amber. How are you? Good?
I'm doing good, eating a lot of meat.
Now, you do surprise me. The question is, how do you tackle questions from family and friends about your way of eating? And how do you sum it up in a nutshell to those who may be interested in knowing more? How do you sell it, as it were?
So for friends and family, it's not too difficult because they're all pretty much in the low-carb sphere or some even carnivorous. So it's not really difficult with them at all. For strangers, like Uber drivers, I'll just talk about it plainly. I usually end up bringing it up because they ask what I do for work and it comes up as a consequence.
I love how you use Uber drivers as an example there.
Well, I use them a lot and I enjoy talking to them. I actually ran into one on the way to the airport and he was asking about low HDL and high triglycerides after I said I research cholesterol as part of my job. So we ended up talking about that. But for explaining carnivore, I usually just say I follow a carnivorous diet. I came to it from a high-fat, low-carb diet, and I found it was far more enjoyable. And I also talk about things like keeping a close eye on my markers. My doctor is happy. Everything looks good. I've done a lot of research into it. And usually I'll mention that it works well as an elimination diet. So it's helpful for finding problem foods that you wouldn't know were affecting you poorly otherwise. And interestingly, I found that in one-on-one conversations, a lot of them are more curious than anything. We talk about the research, the books that I've read, and sometimes I'll point them to Amber's site or Georgia Eat or things like that. I've noticed it's more in groups that people tend to be really dismissive and say, you know, that's going to give you a heart attack and things like that. But one-on-one, they're actually usually really open with it in my experience.
It's nice to deal with curiosity, isn't it? I must admit that most of my, not necessarily here in France, actually, but most of my friends and family in the UK, it feels like more of a defensive conversation, like I'm having to explain and defend the way I eat against what is the norm or against what they think is healthy. It's so much easier just being around people like my online and sometimes meeting up in real life friends like you. It's that you just don't have to have that defensive conversation. But it's nice that the people you're coming in contact with, who you're having those conversations with, it's a conversation based around curiosity. That's a much more interesting conversation to have, isn't it? You can engage in it more.
Yeah, and how I generally address the concern is, or even saying things like, you know, that has to be really unhealthy, things like that. First off, I make sure to tell them that I appreciate their concern. Like, that's really important to me that they care about my health. And then I kind of reassure them, you know, like, I am tracking blood markers. I'm getting CACs once every, like, 10 years or whatever. And all these other markers. And so if I do see anything concerning, I'll pretty much be able to spot it pretty immediately. And I encourage other people to do that as well, because even if carnivorous diets were this magical thing that fixed absolutely everything regarding diet, there are other things unrelated to diet that tracking can spot. And I've seen that in a couple cases for people in a low-carb community where they might not have seen it otherwise unless they were testing. And it's way easier one-on-one, but I mean, I can understand the concern. It's not a mainstream thing. It's not something that's talked about often, but I do think that's going to change.
Yes, well, I do think it's starting to change already, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the better.
Let's hope so.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I look forward to seeing you soon. Won't be long.
Yes.
Are you all prepared? Prepared for your presentation?
Oh, no, but I never am. It'll be fine.
That's true. Well, I'm sure it will be. You were completely properly prepared at KetoFest, so I'm sure it's going to be exactly the same. And you've got the perfect audience to practice with, haven't you?
Yes, of course.
You having a good time?
Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of local farms and butchers around here, so I'm having a lot of fun just going to them and buying, you know, like raw milk and raw cheese and lamb chops and pork chops and all this type of really nice quality stuff, and supporting the local farmers here.
Well, great. I'll see you soon.
All right. See ya.
How do you tackle questions from family and friends about your way of eating? And how do you sum it up in a nutshell to those who may be interested in knowing more? How do you sell it, as it were?
For the most part, I don't talk about it in my personal life unless it has to come up because I've been invited to someone's house for dinner or if they just happen to notice how I'm eating. It's definitely a lot more, it stands out if you have just meat on your plate in a way that it doesn't if you were just avoiding carbs, and you can have a kind of normal looking plate that someone might not notice that you're eating specially. But when people ask, I start by saying, I don't eat plants for health reasons. And if they ask me more, and they often do, I'll tell them about how it helps with my mood disorder. And then I will sometimes direct them to the site where I have my book that gives more of an explanation of why someone might do that.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
To get the resources and links from this show, please go to ketowomanpodcast.com/episodes. Please share this podcast with as many people as possible by sharing one of my links or just taking a screenshot of an episode that you enjoyed. Reviews really help raise the profile of the podcast, which gets it in front of more people, but also helps me attract a wide variety of guests. So please take a minute to leave a review on whichever podcast app or platform you like to listen on. It doesn't go unnoticed by me, the people who regularly like, share, and comment on my posts. Your support really does mean the world to me. Thank you. Are you enjoying this podcast? Help me make more episodes and videos by making a pledge at my Patreon page, patreon.com/ketowoman. Or simply hit the support button on the Keto Woman Podcast website. Don't forget to join in the fun on the Keto Woman Podcast Instagram and Facebook pages, and Daisy_KetoWoman on Twitter. Are you my next extraordinary woman? Maybe you've got an idea for a show, a topic you would like to hear about. Let me know how I can tickle your earbuds by dropping me a line at daisy@ketowomanpodcast.com. This week's end quote is from George Adair. Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. Bye-bye, keto lovelies.